This is an interview with Mr. Mahler by David Montgomery at Mr. Mahler's residence. The date is February the 19th, 1993. Okay, I have a list of questions here that I brainstormed up with some help. And the first one is, how were civilians affected by the U.S., British, and Russian attacks? By that, I mean, like airborne attacks, assaults.
They were in a constant peril. The Russians attacked only when they came in on German territory because they didn't have a big air fleet. But the Americans and the British bombed practically day and night at the end of the war. And so one city after another fell in ruins. And so the casualty of civilians was nearly as high as the casualty on the front line.
All right. And I've read several books about World War II, and one of them was called Air Wars by Edward Jablonski. And I read a lot about the morale of the civilians, and that there was no massive cry to end the war, you know, because of the bombardments. What was the effect of the attacks on the civilians?
It was like demoralizing because they really didn't go for the industry in the beginning. They go for the cities where the people live. Mm-hmm. And of course the discipline in Germany was always high. That was the way we was brought up, you know, to obey. Right. And don't question. And since the control of radio, in that time television was not existing, the control of the radio and of the press was completely in the hand of the government, so the general public in many cases don't even know how many casualties was in an air raid and how much damage was done.
So how did they report these bombing raids like Regensburg and Schweinfurt and Bremen and Cologne and stuff like that? How did they report that in the papers?
They just said attacks was made on the cities with heavy losses.
Okay, did they specify whether it was heavy American losses or heavy German losses? Or
sometimes they said losses heavy on both sides.
Okay. All right. The attacks were demoralizing, from what you just said, but was there a way to keep morale up? Did they keep their morale up in any way, like were there songs or games? Or
no, it was, everything was very subdued, and from 1944 on, we know we had lost the war. And so everyone tried to stay alive, some way or another.
All right, what was day-to-day life like for the civilians and the soldiers?
For the soldiers, it was strictly by command. I mean, you was told what to go and what to do. In the hospitals, I was the most time in the hospital. I spent nearly 2 years in the hospital. So in the hospitals, it was a very bleak picture because you talked to soldiers who came from Russia, who came from Finland, who came from Italy and from different parts, who was wounded in different parts. And from talking to them, you know it was going bad. So it was a feeling just to survive. That's the only thing I can say.
All right. You were in the hospital for 2 years?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you ever come across American POWs who had been wounded and captured?
Yeah.
Okay, what was their attitude? Was it one of arrogance, conceit?
No. You know, there's a camaraderie between the different forces. When you are wounded, you're in the same boat. There was no difference. Like, why I was in a Red Cross trained, why I was badly wounded in Salerno. The medics was British POWs, who took care of us as well as the wounded American, as well as the wounded British and French, because there was all kinds of wounded in there. And so there was no, the only difference was the language barrier. I mean, in that time, not too many spoke a foreign language in Germany.
So on the battlefield and in the hospital, the humanitarian feelings outweighed the military.
That's correct.
Okay. All right. How did you as a soldier live, and how did the civilians live?
As a soldier, we had our food rations better than the civilians. We was benefit in the civilians. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, we didn't have a much outlook what's going on in general, because you was only in a small section. And so you did what you was told to do. But like in Sicily, where it was finished, from my company, there came only 20 people back. So most of them was wounded. The casualty on dead was not that high, but wounded was tremendous high. And so we was put in camps to refit again, you know, put new companies together. And that makes a bad feeling, because you don't know your next door. You don't know what kind of a character it is. Can you depend on him when it goes heart to heart? And that's where we went in Salerno. We went in a put together unit in the last minute. We got a new company commander. I hadn't seen him before. And he was very blunt. He said to us before we went in, he said, we can't win it. And that's when German officer was quite a risk to tell us this man, we can't win it. But we are going in that the fire burns better.
Isn't that kind of a suicidal type?
Yeah, but as a soldier, you have no chances, because in the front is the man, the so-called enemy. You don't know him. He don't trust you. You don't trust him. Behind you is the military police. So you are trapped. You can't go forwards and you can't go backwards.
So either way you go, you get shot.
That's right. You are trapped. And you want to live. That's the main basic reason you want to live, especially when you are young.
Alright. Now, I asked you how you as a German soldier lived and how the civilians lived. Where did they live? I mean, like, for the people in Cologne? And
mostly in the cellars. And another thing I'd like to point out, and I made some presentation here in the high school too, when something happened like that, what is the most valuable possession what you have to take and take with you? Not food, not clothing, but your documents and your pictures. Because if you lose them, you lose your identity. This is the most important, documents and pictures.
Documents and pictures, the most important.
Most important.
Okay, I can see the documents, because they say who you are and where you're from and this, that, and other. But how, when you say pictures, are you talking about pictures?
Family pictures, you know, from your background.
Okay. Okay, how is that going to affect you? If you've got your documents but not your pictures, how can that hurt
you? The pictures is your personnel thinking of your time back, you know, of your past. But the documents is for the government, so that you can identify what you have learned, what kind of schooling you had, and in case later on for a pension, you know, that you can all document it. You have to document everything in life. It's here in the United States as well as in Germany as well, all over.
Okay. Alright, let's see, I've asked you this one. The effect. Okay. I asked you before what the effect on morale was when I said attacks. I meant, so like, tank attacks and infantry assaults. What about Allied bombardment? Like, on the front lines. I know they used to bombard the front lines in certain areas.
All what you do is you cling to the ground as deep as you can and hope you come through alive. That's all what it is, because after a bombardment you can see anything. The whole area is one dust.
Okay. How are the let me see. What were the major fears of the civilians as far as the Russians, the United States, and the British were concerned?
From the Russians, the most fear, especially for the woman, was to be raped. And I can say with certainty that every second woman in the eastern part of Germany was raped. The same thing could happen now in Yugoslavia. Because the woman was free, was a free gift to the soldier. And they had a Russian writer who told them that everything you do to the German is right. So that's absolutely fact.
Okay, what about the... Okay, that was the Russians, and I think I can probably say clearly that that was revenge, in a manner of speaking.
Oh yeah, in a manner of speaking, it was revenge, sure.
Okay. What about the British?
The British was the most correct. Mm-hmm. I have to say that. Even I went in prison camp, in a British prison camp, I surrendered to the British. They are absolute correct. All what they took was our weapons, and that was all. We could keep our personal belongings, and they fed us fairly okay.
Okay, what about the United States? How did the United States...
As long as the war was going on, the United States treated the prisoners okay. But after the war was finished, it turned completely 100%.
So it was sort of like when they saw the concentration camps, which you knew nothing about,
They
said, all right, this is just an example. They did that to the Jews, let's do that to them.
But that's correct. Eisenhower did that.
That is incredibly sad. All right. How were the wounded taken care of? You referred earlier to medics of British, of being British PWs, who took care of everybody.
Yeah.
Okay.
The wounded were taken care of. It doesn't matter where they came from.
Okay.
Except towards the Russians. I think the Russians was the most bad treated, because the Russians didn't have an agreement with the International Red Cross. Like in Russia, for instance, our hospitals was not marked with a Red Cross like in the West. When you have a hospital, usually you don't put fire on it. You don't shoot it. But in Russia, there was not such thing. It was the Russians didn't agree that the people could write. Nobody knows. Like a cousin, he will come over here in 2 months. He was 7 years in Russian captivity. He couldn't write a single letter. They didn't know who he alive or he was dead until he came back.
Okay, are you saying that if you had had a Red Cross on your hospitals on the Russian front, then the Russians would have zeroed in on that?
And they would shoot at it, no doubt about it.
That's kind of cold-blooded, don't you think?
Yeah, but the war is cold-blooded in general.
Oh, yeah.
Doesn't matter what you look at it.
All right. On the front line, if let's say you had pneumonia. Now, you were a tank driver?
Yeah.
Okay. If you had pneumonia, could you be pulled off the line?
That's correct.
Okay. What were the stipulations? Like, for me, because I was in the Army, if I was to be pulled off of the line,
I would shoot you. Put in the hospital.
Okay. Did you have to have a certain temperature, a certain amount, like 102?
If the medic says the man is ill and he has to be in the hospital, in the hospital care, you went in the hospital.
Alright. Now, how about in combat? I mean, it's one thing to be taken off the line if you're just driving around training. But what about in combat? If you're in combat fighting the Russians or the Americans or the British, and you had pneumonia,
they will if they could, they will take you out because you are not full capable of doing your job. Like in Russia, we had a lot of volinium fever. That's kind of malaria. You lose your hair and you are shaking all over and you vomit a lot.
Could you repeat that fever again?
Wallinian fever.
Wallinian?
Yeah, it's mostly in the southern part. There's a part of Russia that's Wallinian, and that's a lot of box and wet places, you know. It's a terrible place to live. And that fever comes from this area. Wallinian fever.
Okay. How about, okay, in combat, that's all good and well, but like towards the end of the war, I take it you weren't in a tank towards the end of the war. You were marching?
No, I wasn't in a tank anymore. We didn't have any tanks anymore at the end of the war. Okay. Only some units. At the end of the war, when I came back to my unit, it was just infantry.